All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, bye week before the Super Bowl edition, Tom Brady's retired edition of the show, as I'm Bobby Fenton here on JoeBucksFan.com, and we roll into the weekend where it's just a little preview, a little taste of what's to come in the offseason of these footballless weekends. And it's always a tough nut to swallow, honestly. And like I said, it's prep. You know, next weekend's Super Bowl weekend, we'll have plenty going on there. But you get this one weekend in here, and it's been this way since the Bucs won the Super Bowl in 2002. That was the last time there wasn't a bye week. And I remember the Bucs winning that game in Philadelphia and flying home, and they had to turn right around and go to San Diego. Big turnaround. Not the way it is anymore, or has been. And so you get out here as a football fan, and there's been something at least every weekend since going back to August with the preseason. And now you're staring down the barrel of that offseason, baby, and you get a little preview of it this weekend, although the Pro Bowl flag football game and festivities may be enough to hold you over. And then there's not even like meaningful hockey either. It's the All-Star break for that, so you get the All-Star game there. And, you know, college basketball will carry the day this weekend, I guess. But we've got plenty to get to football-wise. Of course, our franchise has received some news, and the football world has received some news. Of course, Tom Brady retiring. So we'll talk about that. We'll look a little bit about the Super Bowl matchup and things like that and look ahead to what's next for our guys. Because here we are in a spot that is not one we didn't expect. It was one we knew was very possible. And so when the news came down, I'm recording this on Thursday. I guess it was Wednesday morning yesterday. I have to say I was a little surprised because I remember we talked about on the show last week how last year it was during Gasparilla. I remember being in the crowd during Gasparilla when the word was going around, and I wasn't really paying attention to my phone that much during the parade. This is last year, but then I remember people, you know, murmurs, oh God, Brady's retiring. I remember that very clearly. And then, of course, the unretirement a month and a half later. But I remember that, and then Brady saying this time that he felt like he was a little bit too quick to act last year, how he wanted to let it breathe a little more this year, how you shouldn't make a decision right after the season's over, and that, you know, it's one thing when you decide a week, 2 weeks after you're eliminated, yeah, sure, then you feel like you want to just be done with it, but you need to get further into the offseason to really, truly understand how you're feeling and what you want to do going forward. He said all that, like on his podcast with Jim Gray, and so I turn around Wednesday morning, the first notice I got of it was my buddy Thomas, if he's listening, he texted me, and then I immediately went to Twitter, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, this is the same amount of time that's passed that passed last year, so he didn't really actually wait any longer. I mean, it was Gasparilla weekend last year, okay, it was 3 days later, 4 days later this year. I thought maybe it'd be a few more weeks. I thought that was the whole point. So, okay, he did it quick this time again. And he even, I mean, you don't need me to play you the Twitter or the Instagram clip. You've all heard it by now. But he even said, I'm not going to make it a long-winded thing. You only get one long, drawn-out retirement thing. And then he went ahead and said he was retiring. But it's really not different from last year. And I'm not saying I think he's coming back or anything like that. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I was just surprised is all. Because he specifically said, hey, I went a little too quick last year. Should have let it breathe, should have given it some time. Then he did not actually do those things this time. But he's announced his retirement. So we are looking for a quarterback for 2023, as was, you know, not necessarily predicted, but potentially expected. And first of all, looking back at Tom Brady's career, I mean, you don't need me to do that. Everybody's been doing that all the past 48 hours or 36 hours, whatever it is. And, you know, we all know by now it's well documented. But I'll just say this. The longevity, above the greatness, even above the Super Bowl, you say, oh, well, 7 Super Bowls, 10 makes of the Super Bowl, and 7 wins, and all the championships and wins and all that stuff. To be not just in the league hanging on, but to be the guy for that long impresses me more than any of the wins individually. Collectively, of course, it's the most impressive thing, 7 Super Bowls. I mean, my God. But I still remember the Snow Bowl. The Tuck Rule game, as they call it. I remember exactly where I was. That's one of those games you probably all remember where you were, right? And that was when Tom Brady, like, really became Tom Brady. That season earlier that year was when Drew Bledsoe got hurt and Brady took over and they started playing really well. But even then, that was the regular season and rookies have come in and played well before and things like that. But I remember the Tuck Rule game specifically. I was at the Archer Road Chili's in Gainesville. I was in college. It was senior year of college. And I was there with my buddies. I was with Drew and Ryan and Pete. And we were there just hanging out at the Chili's, watching the playoff game on one of the TVs. And I remember watching that game distinctly. I remember the fumble. I remember the whole thing, the ruling, clear as day. And when I look back at it, that was exactly half of a lifetime ago. I'm 42 now. I was 21 then. And that was the beginning of the Tom Brady thing, you know, like that game. And it's amazing when you look back at that game because you wonder how different so many things could have been. And look, first of all, if that tuck rule wasn't called or if that was ruled a fumble, you know, and I'm not saying Tom Brady wouldn't have gone on to be what he was. He would have had six Super Bowls instead of seven, probably. But you think about John Gruden leaving the Raiders, and does that happen? Like, do the Bucs win their Super Bowl in 2002 without the tuck rule game? I honestly have no idea, but if the tuck rule itself isn't applied in that spot there and they rule out a fumble and the Raiders go on to win, maybe John Gruden goes on and wins the Super Bowl, or at least he plays another playoff game or two, and maybe we never make that trade and we never get him and we never the whole thing. I mean, so many things. You could do this with a million things, but so many things would be different. But they do win that game, as we all know, and they do go on to win the Super Bowl over the Rams that year, and that was the first of what would be seven in 10 appearances. And everybody's got all the different Brady memories from both the Patriots and, fortunately for us, the Bucs. But now that it's over, most likely, I never say never with these guys, no matter what they say, especially when, you know, there's this much distance between now and the season. But I do think he's retired. But now that it's over, like I said, the longevity, above anything else, to me, is the most incredible thing. And the last 3 years, especially with the Buccaneers, I'll say it, I said it before, and I'll say it again, just what an absolute smashing success it all was. I know it ended with disappointment with the Cowboys playoff loss and with the general disappointing season that really wasn't worthy of a playoff appearance, even though the Bucs got one. I know that, but, like, I'm still, like, 3 years into it in disbelief that he even came to the Bucs. Like, do y'all remember 2020? I mean, COVID was going on. There was all this other stuff. But I remember saying, this isn't going to happen. This isn't the type of thing that happens to Tampa Bay teams. We're not that team. Like, we're not the team that makes the headlines. We're not the team that a guy like Tom Brady goes to. We make a lot of predictions on shows, not just this show, but just in general. In sports, we're always trying to say what we think is going to happen. And I'm not big into making predictions in general because I've learned long ago nobody knows what's going to happen. But I was really pretty concrete, like, comfortable saying he wasn't coming to the Bucs. I just like, nah, that's not a thing, man. I know people are talking about that, but I couldn't wrap my mind around it. I really couldn't. And I still remember all the watching the ESPN reports when it became real, and I was like, it's surreal. Like, that word gets overused, but it really was surreal. Just the idea that Tom Brady is going to leave the Patriots, come to the Bucs. Like, who the hell are we? Like, we always suck hind tit. You know, we're on the back burner. Nobody in the national media cares about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or Tampa Bay teams in general. And that's right back where we're going to go out back to now, by the way. But he did. He came to the Bucs. Okay, well, that's cool. Let's see. Maybe he's washed up. And they win the Super Bowl in Raymond James freaking Stadium in his first year here. And right then and there, it was a smashing success. I don't even care what would have happened last year and this year. But then they did actually go pretty deep in the playoffs last year to the divisional round, and this year make the playoffs again. And then, like, Rob Gronkowski, like, if you told me, like, in October of 2019, which is a little over 3 years ago, not that long ago, hey, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are going to play for the Bucs, you're going to win the Super Bowl in Tampa, what up? I would have been like, dude, like that. I would kick that guy's ass just for saying something so outlandishly stupid, whoever said that to me. And it happened. Like, it's the most surreal thing that's ever happened to any of my favorite sports teams. The Lightning, even the Lightning winning two Stanley Cups in a row and going to three finals in a row is not as surreal as the entire Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Bucks fixing their uniforms. Imagine where the Bucks were. Like, where the Bucks were in 2019. We were a team coming off of a lot more than a decade, but as Joe calls it on Joe Bucks Fan, the lost decade, just in the doldrums. Had these ugly-ass alarm clock uniforms. Middling 500 seasons were the top end of our success, but more than often than not, it was 5-11, 6-10, 7-9. just crap. The Jameis Winston experiment had failed spectacularly. And we were just nowhere. Hadn't been to the playoffs since 2007, 12 years. Didn't even have any memory. Like I still, to this, right now, I have all these memories of like the 90s and 2000s. From 2011 to 2019, that entire decade of the teens, the 20 teens, I can't even like remember anything. I couldn't even tell you a thing that happened. Like I barely remember any of it. The most forgettable, boring, just, ugh, awful. And then on top of it all, those horrible uniforms. And then to go in less than like 3 months to go from those uniforms to, hey, we're going back to these gorgeous uniforms. We're a serious franchise again. Oh, hey, by the way, we got Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Like, whoa! All right, I still have whiplash. So that's, to me, you know, of all the things that have happened in the past 3 years, just going back to the very genesis of it, it's still the most surreal and unbelievable thing that's happened to any of my pro sports teams. And to actually stand there in that stadium with confetti falling around me with my buddy Drew, who I've been a Bucks fan along with since we were kids. We got season tickets with our summer job money the minute we got our driver's licenses when we were 16. We didn't have money for anything. We still had money for that. And standing there in Raymond James Stadium watching the Bucks win the Super Bowl in person, are you kidding me? And I'll take those memories forever. All of us will. As Bucks fans. So the whole thing was just awesome. And will and continue to be awesome in my minds and in our hearts and everything for as long as any of us are around. But now it's over. So, okay. What do we look ahead to? What's the good part about this? Well, first of all, we had talked about the salary cap implications. The worst case scenario was that he stays in the league but leaves the Bucks, and we have to eat a $35 million cap hit with no recourse, and he's still playing for other teams. He retires, that allows, you probably heard me discuss it, or Greg Allman's tweeted about it, and it's been broken down by Sev. You follow anybody on Bucks Twitter, the Joes have talked about it too, everybody. Okay, now that $35 million can be split, not right down the middle, but they can take only an $11 million cap hit this year and kick the other $24 million to next year. So that gives them a $24 million cap relief this season based on him retiring and not playing for anybody else. So that's something for a team that's 50-something million over. And it's been suggested, well, you know, what got the Bucks into this mess is kicking the can down the road. Maybe just take your medicine, just do all $35 million now, even though you don't have to. And look, if there was a better cap situation this year, that might be fine. I would actually recommend that. I always teach my kids, and I should teach myself too, because I'm a procrastinator by nature, to, you know, do what's hard right now instead of delaying it. It's always the better choice, except the Bucks cap situation next year is actually not bad at all, and this year it's really bad, so in this case it is actually smarter to kick as much next year, because next year they're not in cap hell, just based on the way the numbers work out and contracts and things like that, the way they are this year. So you take any relief you can this year, and so that's, I imagine, what they will do. They have to go through some paperwork, and Brady has to sign some things or whatever, but they'll take care of all that. So you get a little cap help this year, and now you're looking at a quarterback for next year. And this is the big thing, because the franchise is at a crossroads right now, which we knew we would be whenever this happened, whether it was going to be this year or next year. But what the Bucks need to do at this point is try and decide what it is they want to be. Now, everybody's got a different idea of that when you're facing a potential rebuild. I even caught myself turning over potential new quarterbacks in my head, and we're going to go over a few here in a moment. And I'd go through different names, and I was like, nah, he's too good. Like, I was almost thinking to myself, we don't want to get a guy too good because we probably want to just, you know, rebuild. We don't want to waste resources on someone. And I caught myself because I'm thinking, you know, if Todd Bowles was here right now and he heard me talking like that, he'd say, are you out of your bleeping mind? Because I guarantee you, for him, he's coaching for his job. All right, he's not thinking, okay, we'll suck for a while, then some new guy can come take over for me and get all the credit when they get better again. He's trying to win. So he's thinking, who's the best quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2023, period. And obviously, I would want the head coach thinking that way. Jason Light and the Glazers are the ones who kind of have to decide, okay, what's the direction? They have to shape the vision and shape the direction, I guess is the best way to put it, of what this franchise is going to try and do here. But if you're Todd Bowles, yeah, you want the best guy possible, period. And maybe we should too. Maybe we should stop thinking about all this rebuild stuff. You know what? There's no, everybody say, oh, Caleb Williams. there's 32 teams that want Caleb Williams or Drake May or whoever the quarterbacks are next year, you know? And there's no guarantee you're going to get one of them just because you're bad. What if you're like 6-11? That's not bad enough. That won't get one of those two guys. You have to be like 2-15 or like 3-14 or something like that to get one of those two guys, okay? So there's no guarantees. Oh, we're just going to tank. And we'll, people are penciling these guys in. Let's just tank. And you know, they say, oh, start Kyle Trask, and then he'll be bad, and then we'll be bad, and then we'll get the pick. Well, what if they get, what if Kyle Trask plays, but he's, you know, 6-11? So now we're picking like 9th or something or whatever it is, you know, 8th, 7th. And we don't, now you suck, and you don't get one of those guys. If those two guys, who says those two guys are even going to be it just because they're the top two guys? You don't know how good they'll be in the NFL. Like, we don't know any of these things. And like I said, Todd Bowles is staring at the potential of having a second straight losing season. By the way, I don't know if you all know this or not. Joe pointed it out on his Twitter feed or in one of his articles at joebucksfan.com. The Glazers, since they took over ownership of this team in the 90s, have fired every single coach that had two straight losing seasons except when John Gruden did it and he had won the Super Bowl. All these other guys, two losing seasons, that's it. They pulled the, they ripcord out. Now, I'm not sure. I mean, they don't have a little notebook with rules that say if coach has second losing season, fire him. I'm sure they do everything by feel. But with Todd Bowles winning the division, even though it's technically a losing season, I'm not sure if that counts as much of a losing season as a regular losing season would. But if Todd Bowles goes out there and goes, like I said, 6-11, 5-12, something like that, you know, he could very well be gone. And I guarantee you all of us would be saying he should be gone. Maybe the Glazers, that might be, they might feel different, they might not. So you can't just pencil in these things like, oh, this will happen, then this will happen, then we'll get this guy, and then we'll go do that. You don't, nobody knows, okay? Nobody knows. So who is the best potential quarterback for the Bucs in 2023? And, you know, people keep throwing out the name. We've heard Derek Carr. Derek Carr, to me, that's the least optimal one. Because you get the worst of both worlds. One, he's going to cost big money. And two, I don't think he's that good. I think you're spending big money you don't have. You're probably still not going to be that good, but you're going to be not good enough to, or not good enough, I should say, to still be like 500-ish or a little below 500. You're not like top five pick bad, but you're also not going to be that good, and you're also going to spend a ton of money. There's all these free agents. Obviously, Jimmy G is out there. And if the Bucs were like right there, like still considering themselves Super Bowl contenders, but didn't have the quarterback spot shored up anymore, I'd say, yeah, Jimmy G. As it is for both him and for the Bucs, I don't know if it's a fit now. Although Kyle Shanahan did say he's definitely, or he didn't say definitely, but he said he didn't see a scenario where he comes back to the 49ers, even without Brock Purdy and his, you know, if he has to have Tommy John or just, you know, whatever his elbow injury is, they still don't see themselves having Jimmy G back. So he's out there, but I don't think he's the guy here. I think you're looking at more of that second tier of names. And I'm just reading off list of free agent quarterbacks right now. Okay. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Gardner Minshew. Jarrett Stidham is one that I think Jarrett Stidham is actually has a chance to be pretty good. He's still pretty young. He's like 26. And he wouldn't cost anything. See, he's a guy I would look at. All the guys I just mentioned, I'm sure the Bucs will do their due diligence on all of them. But I'd rather get a guy who's both cheap and still has the potential to be good than a guy who you know is solidly in that middle tier or even a lower tier. Like Sam Darnold. We kind of know what he is. Teddy Bridgewater, we kind of know what he is. Baker Mayfield, we kind of know what he is. And they're not bad. I mean, none of them would be bad. But they're not, you know. Jarrett Stidham is a guy. I feel like there's more room to grow there. I feel like we don't know what he is yet. And I was in, you know, when he played for the Raiders, when Carr went home and all that stuff. I'm not trying to make this guy out to be, you know, all world or everything, but that's one I would really look at if I was the Bucs. Gardner Minshew, too. Minshew's not as, I wanted him to be better. I remember when he started that game for the Eagles against the Cowboys when Hurts was hurt, and that was a big game, and the Eagles still hadn't clinched yet. And He wasn't bad, but like I wasn't that impressed. I was like, yeah, he's okay. Their offense had trouble getting going in that game. I don't like when I watch a game or an offense and you just have that no hope of scoring feeling. There was a few of those drives where the Eagles needed points, and I was like, this doesn't feel good. Like, I don't like that feeling. I didn't get that feeling with Stidham. Heinicke's not bad either. Heinicke's a competent mid-level guy, which is the same thing. I mean, you get someone like Bridgewater or Sam Darnold. If I was Todd Bowles, for example, I'd rather, if I'm going to make this move with limited resources as far as salary cap things and all that, I'd rather, if you're going to bet $10 either way, would you rather bet it on something that is only likely to, you know, like let's say you're making a bet at 2-1 odds, or would you rather make it at 50-1 odds? When you feel like the two guys are the same, I don't feel like Jared Stidham and Sam Darnold are any, you know, different as far as how much it'll cost to acquire them. In fact, Stidham will be cheaper. But I feel like Stidham's got way more potential upside, where I feel like you know what you're getting with the other guys. So that's just a name I'm throwing out there. The Bucks may have no intention of signing him. This is just me talking right now. I was just looking at the list of guys and thinking who might work, who might not work, or who has a chance to work. And obviously there's the one big wild card that we don't have right now, and that's the offensive coordinator. But, and you know, here's the thing with the Bucks. They've interviewed 7 guys now. I mentioned last week a few of the names that they interviewed. They have interviewed since Todd Monken, the Georgia offensive coordinator who was with the Bucks, who had that Bucks offense humming that year that Jameis, what was that, 2018 I think it was, or 2017? What was the year Jameis was suspended for a few games and they had Fitzpatrick start out? And they were humming. I mean, and that was with, you know, not the greatest roster of all time or anything, but offensively, Monken had them going. Now, he's going to cost a lot of money. That money doesn't count against your cap. But given what he's making at Georgia, you got to do, you know, probably $3 million to get him. And the other big wild card here is you have to have the guy want to come here. Just because they interview doesn't mean they're going to take the job if offered. And so in those interviews, I'm sure they asked the same questions we're asking. Even though the Bucs are asking the offensive coordinator candidates questions, the candidates probably have some questions on their own. Who's my quarterback? Are we riding with Kyle Trask? Are we getting somebody in free agency? Who do you like? They probably asked the offensive coordinator the same thing. Hey, who do you like at quarterback? Well, who would you want us to pursue if you were taken over and you knew Tom Brady was retiring? These are things they all know that we don't know as far as what their thinking is. As far as Kyle Trask, I talked about this after the Atlanta game in Week 18. I think the Bucs think he sucks. I think the Bucs think that. I think the Bucs mentally have checked out on him. I just have a hard time believing the way they've handled him. It doesn't indicate anything as far as believing he's the guy, or even potentially the guy. They've had him for 2 years now. They spent a second-round pick on him, so you figure they had some intentions. But then he's been inactive. Like, they don't even activate the guy for the freaking games. He's been inactive for all the games except for the one. And then even the Week 18 game, they're playing with house money. They're just, you know, not even trying to win. It's a total freebie. I'm thinking, I said it that week on the show here before that game. I said, man, this is like a really good chance for the Bucks to see, or at least begin to start trying to see, how Kyle Trask looks in real live-action NFL games, not the fourth quarter of some preseason game with a guy who's going to be, you know, an accountant 3 weeks from now after he gets cut. I'm talking about with real guys. Like, put Kyle Trask in there with real guys, real situations, number ones on defense against him, at least for a series or two, the number ones on offense. Let's see what Kyle Trask can do, right? I mean, I thought that'd be part of the deal. And they treated it like another preseason game. They played Brady, then they played Gabbert, then they put Trask in at the very end, garbage time, reserves, just like any other of the preseason games he's played in. And he didn't look great. And I don't think he's that good. But again, we still haven't seen, and I think it's because the Bucs have already made up their minds on. That's how I feel. So I don't think, especially if I'm Todd Bowles, and I know he doesn't have this decision solely to himself, he's not the GM or the owner, but I don't think if I'm Todd Bowles and I'm coaching for my life here, and this is his last shot, he gets fired from here, he's not going to be a head coach again, he's going to go back to being a defensive coordinator, and I'm going to ride with Kyle Trask with my job on the line, are you kidding? I wouldn't do that if I was him. I mean, I don't want to do it with any of the guys I mentioned either on the other list, but I mean, you got to pick somebody, but I would take any of them over Trask is my point. And I think the Bucks feel that way. I think the Bucks, the way they've handled Kyle Trask tells me and again, this is just me saying this, I could be completely wrong. Never forget that when you're listening to me talk on this show. I could be wrong about all of this, okay? But it just feels to me like they think he sucks. They're not going to say he sucks, but the way they handle him and keep him inactive. He didn't even become the number two quarterback behind Brady. He's always been number three. And then he gets a game, basically a free pass game, and maybe we can see what he can do, and they don't even bother to do it then either. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued by Stidham, though. I still think he could be pretty good. I think you could find a diamond in the rough there. And, you know, and then the other thing I didn't mention is the draft. I saw in mock drafts, I'll do my whole mock draft rant later. I mean, we got a few weeks to get to that. I do it every year. The whole mock draft thing, people get way too involved in it. But I will say this. I saw a mock draft that had Anthony Richardson as the Bucs pick at 19. Now, that doesn't matter. That's just a guy sitting at his desk making up a draft. It's not a real thing. But the point is, the Bucs could draft a quarterback too, another one. And people are like, oh, what are you kidding me? The Bucs, any team, not just the Bucs. Draft a quarterback any year, every year. Draft a quarterback. Seriously. It's the most important position by far. And obviously a lot of them bust and very few of them hit. So yeah, draft one. Now I'm not saying the first round every year. But yeah, you should draft a quarterback every year. There's nothing wrong with that. Look at Brock Purdy, seventh round, the final pick of the whole thing. And he helped the 49ers a great deal. I'm not saying I think he's going to be the man going forward, even after he gets healthy again. But, I mean, that was a big deal for them to have him this season. And you don't know which ones are going to be a guy like that, or even better, and which ones are going to be non-serviceable NFL quarterbacks that you can't put out there. So, I wouldn't complain. Now, there's four, and this is the first-round pick. They could do it in any of the picks. But if you presumed that that was actually a thing they were considering with the 19th pick, okay? There's four that are supposed to go in the first round. Obviously, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. Those are the two big boys. They'll be top five guys or top six, whatever it is. Then you've got Will Levis from Kentucky and Anthony Richardson from the Gators. And if you don't know about me, I'm a graduate of the University of Florida, a big Florida football fan. Follow the team just as closely as I follow the Bucks. Okay, so I'm a Gator. And even as a Gator, I said, when it was Kyle Trask a couple years ago, I was like, I'm not that down with it. Same with Richardson. I mean, spending a first-round pick on him seems to me, you know, it goes to show how important the position is and how hard it is to find guys, though, that a team is probably going to do that, even if it's not the Bucs, because you're just hoping. Like, you're trying to hit on something that may be a long shot, but it's worth taking that chance than to just draft in some other guy at some other position. Because people have seen, especially Josh Allen, like Josh Allen was kind of like Anthony Richardson coming out of college. Big, strong, athletic kid, rocket arm, can run, raw, completion percentage sucked. Didn't look like a quarterback so much as an athlete playing quarterback. And yet Josh Allen has panned out. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He's got a few issues, but I mean, he's a quarterback that you'd take ahead of all but like, what, two or three guy, right? He's a top five NFL quarterback. So people see that physical ability, and then Richardson certainly has that, and they're like, oh, yeah, man, maybe Richardson can be that guy, and maybe he can. Maybe I'm wrong. As someone who watched all of his games at Florida, I was frustrated with him more often than not. You know, he's very young, too. These guys are young. Like, you know, he could get better. That's the thing. You don't know. So I wouldn't flip my you-know-what if they drafted him, or Levis is the same thing. Levis at Kentucky, he had some real stinker games. And I remember against the Gators, I was at the game in Gainesville. I was watching, and everybody's talking about, well, Will Levis, potential number one draft pick. And I only knew about him a little bit then. I was like, you know, they're saying this guy could, let's see. I told my wife, I was like, I want to see this guy Levis tonight. And they ended up beating the Gators in that game, but that was not. Levis made one throw that whole game that was even remotely impressive. And I was like, after the game, I was like, yeah, that him? And then the Tennessee game was really bad. And I was like, why do we keep hearing the hype over and over? But he's got the size. He's like, what is he, 6'3", 6'4", 220, 230-something, can run, big, strong. He's got some intangibles, has some leadership qualities and all those types of things. And you know, when you're surrounded by NFL talent and people say, oh, well, you get to the NFL, it's another level. Yeah, it's another level of defense you're facing, but it's also another level of teammates around you as well, that they're better, and NFL level coaching as well. So I see why teams think they can pull it off. And I don't think the Bucs are actually going to do this. I'm just saying that's another avenue. And I wouldn't mind them drafting a quarterback at any point because, look, what do we all want, okay? We want to win the Super Bowl. Every year, it's what we want to do. It's what every team wants to do, okay? How do you win the Super Bowl? Above, I'll say, all, there's a lot of things you have to do to win the Super Bowl. But you have to have the coach-quarterback combination. That Andy Reid Mahomes, even the Eagles with Sirianni, and now Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts as a passer isn't on that level of those other elite guys, but with the dimension he brings, and again, that's another comp for someone like Richardson or whoever, you know, or Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford, and Sean McVay last year. You gotta have that coach QB combo. Everybody's going after that coach QB combo. So Todd Bowles and Kyle Trask is obviously not it. And a lot of you may feel, and I'm not sure I disagree, that Todd Bowles and anybody probably isn't it. But the quarterback part, that's hard to find. It's hard to find the coach, too. And look at what Denver did. Denver, they've already invested all these resources in Russell Wilson. They took what meager resources they had. I don't think they have a first-round pick until, you know, my kids graduate from college at this point. They don't care. They just did it. I would, too. Now they've got Sean Payton. The Russell Wilson part, we'll see if he can fix him. But either way, they've got Sean Payton. Like, that's a huge part of the equation. And you should sell out for the head coach. All these big-time trades teams make, look at what the Bucs did for Gruden. Same thing. They seem like a lot at the time, but if it's the guy, it's worth it, okay? If it's the guy, it's worth it. And the same for the quarterback himself. So the Bucs have a million needs. And you can't take them all with your 19th overall pick. We need a tackle or a guard, probably both. Need defensive front seven guys. Need edge. Need your corner. What's going on with corner? We're lean. Need a million things. And yet, if they took a quarterback, even if it's Anthony Richardson, who I'm not that high on, I'm so open to the idea that I could be wrong that I'd be almost willing to buy in. You know, and they're not going to do this. But my point is, those are the options right now, and the Bucs have to figure out who they like amongst them and just amongst the ideas about each one. Are we going to be a team that's trying to win the Super Bowl as if we're just another, you know, contender? Or are we really, in our minds, even though we're not going to say it out loud, in a rebuild? You know, what are we trying to be here? And the offensive coordinator thing, that's the next big step to take. That'll come probably pretty soon, and then we'll move on to looking at the next quarterback and everything else with that. If you want to get a hold of the show, always love hearing from you guys. You can follow me on Twitter, at Bobby Game Day. It's BobbyGameDay, at Bobby Game Day. And you can always email me as well, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. I want to tell you guys right now, if you're using the Super Bowl off week before the actual game next week to get some things done, maybe you're looking for a new vehicle, you need to check out BillCurryFord.com. It's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. That's the website, obviously. And that's where you can see all the inventory, brand new, pre-owned, cars, trucks, vans, whatever. And not even just Fords, they got other stuff too. All of it's right there. You can see the completely transparent online, no-haggle pricing, get a feel for things. Then go to the lot, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. And that's where they've been serving the Tampa Bay area for 60 years now. Go see if you want to test drive something. And by the way, if you don't want to go, they will bring you a car to your home or office to test drive it there. Same thing if you buy it. Whatever you end up deciding to do, you purchase a vehicle from Bill Curry Ford, you get the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty, which means you don't have to worry about engine trouble as long as you own the car that you bought there. Even if it's years from now, you're covered under the powertrain warranty. Just bring it back into the service center. They'll take care of you. So no freaking out if there's car issues that you think are going to be expensive. It's covered. Roadside assistance for 10 years. You get the first year of oil changes and service all taken care of as well at the service center. Check them out. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway or the website BillCurryFord.com. And again, they spell Curry C-U-R-R-I-E. So thanks to them for looking out for the free stretch. I was looking, you know, around the league. The Bucs are not the only team that needs a quarterback. There are several. as much as, you know, a third of the league in any given year. So there's going to be competition for some of these guys, and of course the draft as well. Even it's not just teams that are in the doldrums or not just teams that are at the edge of the abyss either. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers just played in the NFC Championship game, albeit it wasn't a great game, and it went bad real quick after they lost Brock Purdy, and they had to turn to Josh Johnson. Then he got hurt, and now they're talking about, you know, that ended up putting Purdy back in. He couldn't do much because he literally could not throw. But, you know, I've been hearing all this talk about, oh, they need to bring back the emergency third quarterback. You know what? First of all, there's 53 guys on a roster, and there's 48 actives and 5 inactives on a game day. Why? I never understood the inactive thing. If you're on the team, you're on the team. So you don't need to add a third quarterback or something special. Just say all 53 guys on the team, then you can have 53 guys. Then you can dress it. The whole point with the third quarterback is that they don't want teams to have to waste a roster spot on a third quarterback, so they think they should make a special rule where you can designate a third quarterback. And he's not part of the active roster, but you can still have him in case something happens like what happened this past weekend. But how about you had 5 roster spots? Players Union should love that, right? And you're paying these guys either way. I don't understand the inactive thing. Like, hey, let's take this team that, you know, they had to make the team and there was these final cutdowns and this roster of 53, and let's just make them say 5 guys can't play today for some reason. Why? Why don't we just give them the whole 53? Or hell, increase the rosters to 55 and give them that. That's 7 extra guys. Problem solved. Then if you want to have the third quarterback, you can. But if you want to still roll the dice and go with 2 and use those roster spots for other things, that's up to each team individually. But it was unfortunate. I mean, it's championship weekend. You know, these are supposed to be 2 of the banner showcase games and for the whole season, the NFC and AFC championship game. And you get the 49ers out there with a guy who, like, literally can't throw. He's playing quarterback, and they're trying to get through the game, and it turned into a farce. Now, I'm not saying the Eagles wouldn't have won anyway. They may well have, but it pretty much was over at the moment Brock Purdy hurt his elbow. And now he might be out for a good portion or all of next year. It's not just the offseason. He may need Tommy John. So the 49ers are here. Just a few weeks ago, we're talking about the embarrassment of riches that they have. Like, oh, my gosh, this guy Purdy, he's playing well. They still have Jimmy G. I know he got hurt, although he's a free agent. They have Trey Lance, and they were talking about Tom Brady coming in after the Brock Purdy injury for next season since he's from out there. Of course, that's not happening now. All of a sudden, the 49ers are one of those teams that's kind of in quarterback hell, and they don't have anybody. Trey Lance may still not be ready, and even if he is, he's had, you know, mixed results. He didn't play much this year. Obviously, he went out very early in the season. I heard John Lynch, I didn't like this, I heard John Lynch say this, and I love John Lynch, but in their year-end press conference, they were asking John Lynch, like, hey, what about Trey Lance, what's going on there? And he said, well, he has to prove he can stay healthy. I don't care for that wording, okay? This is not like a situation of a player off the field having legal issues, or he has to prove we can trust him, or he has to prove, you don't prove you can stay healthy. These are not things that happen due to decision-making or things like that. Injuries, especially with Trey Lance, the way they run him between the tackles constantly, and then, oh, well, he's got to prove he can stay healthy. What does that mean, prove you can stay healthy? And John Lynch even said it himself. He's like, well, in my career, I remember I had some injury issues and I couldn't stay healthy, and then all of a sudden I didn't miss a game for 8 years. Yeah, that's how injuries work. They can be random. And just because a guy gets hurt a couple of times doesn't mean it's something to do with the guy. And I know Lynch didn't mean it this way, okay? I'm not trying to say that he did, but I don't care for that wording, and I think that's a subtle thing that somebody should point out to him. And not just, I heard Dan Orlovsky say the same thing, echoing Lynch's comment. So Trey Lance has to prove he can stay healthy. Well, he doesn't have to prove anything like that. I mean, he got hurt as a result of playing a game, which lots and lots of people get hurt playing. And especially when he's used the way he's used, which not every quarterback is. I mean, Jalen Hurts got hurt. It wasn't season-ending. And lots of these guys that are running quarterbacks, they get dinged up. And in Lance's case, unfortunately, it ended his year. Whatever you think about Lance as a quarterback isn't my point, but I didn't care for that wording. But they need a quarterback. All these other teams do, too. So lots of dust left to settle. And we're going to cover it all as we get into the offseason. But we got one more week to go with an actual football game. Of course, it's the one we all look forward to all year long. Super Bowl Sunday is next weekend. We'll talk about it on next week's show. As for this weekend, like I said, use it as a dry run. What are you going to do with yourself? on all these footballless weekends, and there's lots of ways to better yourself and lots of things you can take care of. This weekend's a good primer to get it started. So enjoy it, stay safe, have fun out there, get together with friends, exercise, do all the fun things you need to do, and we'll be back next week and preview the Chiefs and the Eagles and look at, you know, by then we might know the offensive coordinator too for the Bucks, all kinds of things. But in the meantime, thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for Buccaneer coverage. It's an honor and a privilege to get to put a show up on this website every week. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to Tom Brady for choosing the Bucs 3 years ago and winning a Super Bowl and coming over here and changing the complexion of this franchise for years to come. And thanks to all of you for listening. That's your free stretch for the bye week before the Super Bowl. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.